The CSM 14 candidate interview is part of a larger series. You can find interviews with many of the candidates at talkingstations.com. This interview of candidate Insidious Sainthood, a member of RVB, Blue Republic, begins as Artemis asks Insidious about his start in EVE. Insidious Sainthood, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. And the first thing I'd like to ask you is, how did you get started in EVE Online?
That's a very long story, so please help me remember to keep it short. I actually started in 2007 in May after playing a different title, not even space related, with my friend, and we decided that we got tired of it, and we spent a couple months trying to find a new title, and everyone had like low ratings, wasn't fun, whatever the thing, and we finally found up EVE Online. He called me up. He's like, hey, I found this new game, EVE Online. And I said the same thing that everybody said to me after I found it. I was like, Parasite EVE? He's like, no, EVE Online. So I downloaded it. I said, I'll call you back, because internet was not as fast back then. Played it, called him up. The new player experience was horrible back then, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So I just called him up and I asked, I said, hey, what did you click? And he's like, well, Minmatar this, I clicked that one, I clicked that one, I clicked that one. And I did exactly the same thing he did, because I didn't think we were going to stick with it. A couple hours later, I called him and I laid out like our next year in EVE, because I had already hit the forums, hit the PDFs. He logged back in. Yeah, he logged back in later and I was like, we're going to do this, we're going to fly this, we're going to go here, we're going to do this. And he's like, I hate it when you do that. I was like, do what? He's like, I find something new and you still know more about it. Huh. Started as Minmatar, quickly found out that the Drake was the end all be all of starter missions back then, the old flying brick. Proceeded to mission my way around the Citadel and the Forge. Slowly branched out. At that time, every corporation I joined had actually ganked me on like a low sec gate. But I didn't give up when I got attacked. So every single one of them said, hey, you didn't give up. Would you like to join our corporation? And so slowly moved all the way out and ended up in Smash Roadkill, who's gone now, but ended out in Geminit defending. And that started my 00 years. But I was still basically a mission runner, just out in 00. Found another group of guys, kind of wanted to make our own space, moved over near Syndicate. And at that time, I found some Endless Subversion and Violator videos. And I didn't know that PvP was a thing. I thought PvP was a thing that happened, not the thing that you could make happen. Mm. I thought it was a fleets, you know, F1 monkeys, fleets, form up, or you shoot rats. Like it was a very dualistic ideal. I loved the graphics. I loved the game. I loved the ships. I loved what little lore I knew back then. But it was very hot and cold kind of thing. And I was actually just about to quit when I watched some of these videos and I was like, whoa, you can 3v1, 5v1, 10v1. And, you know, it was an actual play style. And that started my descent into madness. On my forum post or on my history, it mentions I went from like unranked, like 350K on the old Battle Clinic to the top. In the top 1,000 in like 6 months. And I did it mostly in the Drake and mostly in solo PvP. So that just means, you know, so the short answer is I started out as a missioner, then moved to a missioner in 00, then moved to 00 to a small gang format, and then moved to low sec PvP. So I kind of come full circle. And now I just camp out mostly in Black Rise and do a lot of solo and small gang PvP.
Right on. It looks like you're in Red versus Blue right now, and specifically the Blue Republic, for those of the listeners who care deeply about that sort of thing. How'd you end up there?
Like a lot of people, I remember the fantastic posts of RVB, the Forever War, Poignant Must Burn, a lot of that fame. But I never joined up back in the day because I was doing my own thing. I was with B-Deal and some other stuff. And I came back. I actually took a small hiatus, and this is a newer account. My old account unfortunately went the way of the ether. And I was like, you know what? I remember a lot of good things about RVB, and so I joined them up. And for anybody who cares deeply, and I'm sure I'll lose votes, but blue is better than red. I just want to be clear up front, so there's no hiding in the bushes.
Right on. All right, so that's where we are today, and you're running for the CSM. What made you decide to run for the CSM this year?
Mostly I had the availability of time and the ability to commit to it. It was interesting before. There were some logistics issues. There were familial issues that had prevented it. But I've always cared deeply about the game. It was a running joke when I used to be in BDL that I was going to be the last guy that logged off because my account would be logged in 24 hours a day. And I always said I'd be the last guy when the server shut down. I will be the last guy on the last node. Mm-hmm. And I now have the maturity, I hope, and the time and the resources to devote the level of commitment that I think the CSM deserves. Hope that doesn't sound too hokey.
Nah, not at all. So you really committed to this thing. You want to spend your time on it. Are there any issues in particular that are motivating you specifically?
Mostly, I feel bad that the CSM has fallen on hard times in regards to the respect from a lot of the community. The CSM is something I always pitch when I talk to people who are interested, people who are seeing me play. Like, I play a lot on the road, a lot of airport time, a lot of hotel time. And people are, oh, what are you playing? EVE Online. And I go into this spiel that I kind of now have rehearsed. It's almost like a stump speech. And one of the things I bring up is the Council of Stellar Management. I'm like, hey, it's a game where the players have direct input into the future development of the game. And the fact that a lot of the community, a lot of the player base thinks it's a joke is very sad to me. And along with that, I think LoSEC has been undervalued and underbalanced past, for lack of a better term, by CCP. I don't think it's had quite the attention that HiSec and NullSec have had in the last few years.
So let's start with the CSM in particular, actually, and ask, like, you're concerned about its reputation among the player base. Do you have any plans on how you'd go about repairing that reputation?
Some of it, I think, is expectation-based. I think some of the player base forgets that CCP has to make bills, that the game is for, you know, many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of players that play. And I think they want a lot of agenda push or a lot of their pet projects push that may not obviously be in the interest of the entire game's health. So I think managing a little bit of expectations, not necessarily lowering them, but managing that a little bit more transparency. I know there's CCP has made some decisions lately, CSM related and not CSM related, that have kind of, you know, shaken the faith in the community and the transparency and openness that CCP used to, or that we believe CCP used to have. One of the previous CSMs mentioned that he did not miss a single 3 a.m. meeting due to his time zone and his location on the planet. Every CSM meeting every week, which a lot of people don't understand, the CSM meets every week, was at 3 a.m. and he didn't miss a single one. That's a commitment I'm willing to make, and I'm willing to make it transparent so people see, hey, this is not an easy job, and the people that you voted for are actually committed to it.
Awesome. And so through that commitment, through that working, and even though you recognize that sometimes pet projects aren't in CCP's business interest, it's still LoSEC and Faction Warfare in particular have a place in your heart. You'd like to see them improved by CCP. Is there any specific way that you'd like to see them improved? Do you have any ideas floating around in your head on that?
With the risk of sounding like a Johnny-come-lately, there's been a lot of really excellent posts by a lot of really excellent other players. Stitch has posted some excellent stuff. Blazing Bunny has posted some stuff. And I have a few emails from other players who are interested in perfecting LoSEC. Some of the ideas that have been floated around are limiting super caps in LoSEC. I don't know that just banning them outright is the best idea, but I think that there is some oppressive effects from the capital proliferation that everybody complains about. And I think LoSEC could benefit from changing the super caps and the caps in LoSEG, but I'm not 100% sure. And part of my platform is I don't know every aspect of the game. Like, if you want to talk about mining yields and all that stuff, I'm lost. Like, I'm going to do my best not to glaze over, but I'm going to pay attention. I'm not going to throw in my 2 cents until I have two real cents. I'm going to let the professionals or the people who do it day in and day out, who Plex 50 accounts to mine asteroids, I'm going to listen to their view and I'm going to listen to opposing views. And then I'm going to form, hopefully an educated opinion. Some of the other ideas are to make it easier for new bros to get ships, to get like SRP, due to some hangar manipulation, so that it's easier for people to get out. It's less scary. There's a faster feedback loop for new bros because part of it is retention in LoSEG.
Mm-hmm. So looking at your campaign post, you mentioned specifically that you dove into PvE content over the years just to avoid becoming a bitter vet and losing interest in the game. Is there any particular, or are there any particular PvE topics which you feel strongly about? How do you feel about CCP's current focus when it comes to PvP, specifically the Triglavians?
So I was actually just responding to a post on the forums, and I think I like every change that CCP makes. Don't necessarily like the outcome from every change CCP makes, but I like that they keep iterating on the game. I love the events. Not all of them have been golden. Some of them have been absolutely horrible, but I try every one of the events because I like the fact that the devs are involved in it, that they're trying to change it. Like, I love when incursions came back, the live events, the live GM'd events, and there's some great stories, some emergent gameplay, and some beautiful stuff that comes from that. So I like a lot of that stuff. I like the Triglavian. I did some Abyssal stuff. In fact, I lost a lot of ISK doing Abyssals and not researching it as much as I should. So when they first came out, when the Abyssal filaments first came out, I dropped in and I was doing some Gila. I was taking the Gila, but I took the active rep one and not the passive regen one. And so I lost 3 Gilas and 3 crystal pods in like a week's time trying to farm all the events, all the items from the events, and I realized that I could have just bought them on Cheetah for like half the price of 1 Gila. It's an example of emergent gameplay and not using my spreadsheets and space knowledge to maximize my return. But it's also an example of how it's nice to dive into new content as kind of a new player. Like, everybody, the oldest players had still never done a Triglavian or Abyssal event or filament. And so it's nice to have new gameplay. And that's one of the things I love about when CCP changes stuff. Some of it affects me, some of it doesn't. Some of it turns out golden. Look at the Assault Frigate, the ADC buff. Like, the huge proliferation of Assault Frigates when they were kind of a joke before. And everybody, not everybody loves it, but the fact that the ships are now used and people are now making money off of them and all the other emergent gameplay is great. Some, like the Monocle issue when the Plex store first came out, not so great.
Mm-hmm. Curious. So, thinking specifically on the changes that CCP has made to add PvE content into the game, there's been a lot of discussion on specifically when the Abyssal filaments were coming out, the way that PvE interacts with PvP and the risk that players undertake when they participate in specific kinds of player versus environment or money-making activities. What are your opinions on that whole risk versus reward dynamic and the way that CCP splits their focus between new PvE stuff and balancing the current PvP ecosystem?
That's actually a really good question, and one I've never heard in quite that way. I personally really like the arena style instant PvP that they added to the Abyssal stuff, and I'm waiting for them to add more. I talked to one of the devs at Vegas, and they said they were eventually going to open it up to the frigates so that you could do 3v3 frigate PvP. And I know a lot of hardcore PvP and NullSec guys were like, no, this is dumb, instant PvP, Eve is dead, all that other stuff. But not everybody is a bitter vet. Not everybody comes in with the same amount of time or dedication. The fact that you have a 20-minute long hard-coded PVE event with an optional PVP component that is also time-based and is player count-based, like you can't fight more than one guy, is awesome, I think, for kind of easing new people. It's kind of like the abyssal version of faction warfare. It's supposed to ease people into the PvP aspect, and so you get a little bit of both. As for splitting their focus, as with any game player, I wish they had more devs, more content, more updates, more everything. That said, I think CCP has done a decent job. Obviously, nobody's going to say they've done a perfect job. It's just there's too many varied opinions and everybody wants more of whatever they like the best. But I like that the content comes out. I like that they've added a little bit more risk. It's not as hand-holdy in some areas while removing some of the stupid stuff in other areas. Matterall talked about that a lot. It should be difficult, not stupid, or something like that. The warnings, the war deck warning, that's great. I travel a lot and I forget that I'm at war a lot of the time, except for the RVB part. We get war decked by a lot of mercenary alliances and everything. And it's mm-hmm. great that after a week of working and, you know, sleepless nights and all this other stuff, that I don't have to click three levels deep, first of all, to find out that I'm at war when I undock in, you know, my hauler or my ratting ship or whatever. So that's a small handhold change on the PV. Well, it's on both the PV and the PVP side. And so I think that's an example of some great iteration that helps on both sides. Other examples of where I think they've actually striked a very decent balance is all the events, the Triglavian stuff, which is forcing a little bit of PVE onto people and PVP where they don't like it. Like, so you have miners who now have to defend their ships against the incursions and invasions. But they also did the war deck changes, which changed not only PVE but PVP. So now there is some defense built into the game. If you don't want to be war decked, you just don't own a citadel. There's a, you know, trade-off there. But for everybody who wants to war deck, you now have a valid target. It's actually been really big for EVE University and RVB, both who are new bro corps, because now you have a target. Like, this is our goal. Instead of just blow the other fleet up and, you know, go rinse repeat, you can now take out a citadel. You have to take out a citadel before you are, you know, part of the war deck. And so I think they've kept a pretty good focus on balancing back and forth. There have been patches historically that were all PvP based. There are some patches, I remember all the mining patches, where there's not a single PvP update, not a single weapon module was touched. It was all haulers and miners and rorquals and all that other stuff. So lately, the last 6-8 months, I have been very happy with all the patch updates. I'm sure some people are going to be mad at me for saying that, but I think they've been doing a pretty good job.
Focusing a bit more on those war deck changes, as you are a member of RVB, you see them firsthand. How's your experience been, and do you think that they're in a good spot now, or do you see room for improvement?
That's actually been another question that's been asked, the exact same question. And RVB is the forever war. So we have a permanent war deck between two alliances, and we actually just set up some new citadels where they're on almost on grid from each other. So you literally just undock, warp out, and get some first-person shooter flavor to EVE Online. Yeah, it's really fun on those days where you only have 15 minutes to log in and you can check your contracts or whatever, but it's nice to undock, shoot a couple frigates or destroyers and dock back up and feel like you still got to play a game when you didn't have time to play a game. So that part actually hasn't changed. If they had raised the price, we would have paid it. If they did fix the price for multiple war decks, we would have paid it. So that part doesn't affect us directly, but there has been some cool side effects. Some of the mercenary high-sec mercenary corps that used to try to prey on us in EVE Uni didn't have citadels or didn't want to go through the whole goal-based war deck, and so they kind of died on the vine. A lot of them have disappeared. In addition, like I said, it gives EVE Uni a training goal. It gives RVB, because we have a lot of new guys, also a training goal, like, hey, let's undock. We're going to do a little fleet exercise, and now we have a goal, and it gives an in-game feedback. So it's a really nice iteration, I think. In addition to the people who want to be safe, we have had some targets that we used to war deck just change corps, just drop their citadels and say we'd rather not deal with it. And it sounds dumb, but at the same time, we don't want to fight somebody who's not willing to fight back. You know, ganking 24/7 is just not that fun, regardless of what code will say in high sec. We want fights. We want good fights. We want people to enjoy the content we're generating. And I think these war deck changes, specifically the recent ones, specifically the Citadel requirement, gives both parties a vested interest and something to fight for and against. And that way, you know, when you land on the battlefield, you're there to fight on both sides. And I think it's a good change, especially in the high sec arena. I don't know that it would change so much in the null sec, but in the high sec, low sec, I think it's a good change.
Right on. All right. Well, before we go ahead and wrap things up here, is there any burning topic on your mind that we haven't covered yet or something that you want to sort of double down on and bring back up again?
I think the only, the real topic with CSM, like I mentioned earlier, is to manage your expectations and to pick people that not only support your agenda or have a similar viewpoint, but that are open enough to understand how the development process works, to understand how not only game development, but specifically programming development works, and how things get done in a business environment when you're managing the expectations of, you know, 500,000 people and still have to make payroll. I think that the CSM can do a lot of good. I think that the CSM can do a lot better job with the support of the community. And with those two things, we have a much stronger bargaining chip when the CSM go to the table with CCP. If we go in and say, listen, you know, 90% of the player base is behind all 10 CSM because this needs to change, or we would like it to be iterated that way, it's a lot better than 70% of the game not caring and thinking it's a joke and 10 different opinions on 10 different things when we sit down for a weekly meeting. So I think if people really put some time in, look at the CSM, look at what they want, and have a realistic goal and a realistic expectation, I think together we can get a lot of stuff done, not just this CSM, but going forward.
Awesome. Well, Insidious Sainthood, thank you very much for your time and good luck on your campaign.
Thank you much. Thanks for the interview.